first.
You want to do the calendar? Do you want to do yours? What are you doing?
We're ready. Good morning. It's Tuesday, February 20th, 2018, 9 a.m. We're gathered here for a general discussion in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room. Present are Commissioner Hare and Commissioner DeYoung. On the slate today is Board of County Commissioners projects for 2018. Two is the department goals for 2018, and three is other. Do we wish to switch any of this around at this time? Is there anything, any order we'd like to take those in?
Where is Commissioner Morgan? I don't know how we can do this without her.
I don't know either. I have not heard.
I mean, it's going to be a redundant conversation if we have it once and then have.
Why don't we take one first, which is the commissioner's projects for 18. Do you have any projects that you pet projects for yourself that you came up with?
Yeah, it's everything. My mom asks me every weekend, so what are you doing? Everything I didn't get done last weekend is okay. On the list. So, been here for a little while, and everything that I haven't accomplished on my three pages of things to do is really up for grabs. And so I can go through some of those. I think it would behoove us to do that, but I think it would be beneficial if the full board were here.
Okay.
Is she on her way or? Okay.
Did you hear from her?
I could go through it real quick. Like transferring those properties from BLM to parks and then from the county to BLM. Sarah got me a great comprehensive list this last weekend, and then I'm meeting with Bob Noyes about, they want a quad map, like a aerial, to say the context of BLM and parks and our stuff. So I got that.
What is that? What entails? I mean, is that something that, I know you've been working on it for quite a while.
It's just legislation.
Who are the players? I mean, are the players us and BLM only?
Yep, pretty much. And then Congressman DeFazio and Walden's office. All of these are in DeFazio's office, but Walden being in leadership in the House, it's really key that we have his support. Okay. We have both of their offices' support. And so that's going to be real positive. When I'm back in D.C., that's my goal.
Okay.
There's
all
about
right.
8 to 10 properties that need to transfer. And sometimes it's just lot line adjustments. Like, we don't want 160 acres when we just want 4 of their out at Lake Selmac when we did that lease agreement. I don't want a board to have to redo that lease agreement 20 years. It's only getting more bureaucratic. We've got Wildlife Images is the one you should be aware of that's different. My intent has always been, they've been working on getting a renewal of their lease expired 10 years ago. And they've had to do, you know, property valuation, spent $7,000. This is a nonprofit taking care of sick and dying animals.
And you, what you're going to do then is just show BLM the features and benefits that they don't need to revisit that ever.
They don't need to worry about it.
They don't need to worry about
just
it. Just give
transfer it to,
what they
to the
cover
county
on the county side.
And for like a dollar, we'll lease it to them like forever.
Okay.
So
all right.
That's my goal.
And how many properties is there, did you say?
About 8.
Okay.
About 8.
Well, good luck with that. I think that would be great.
It would. It would really, and some of them are bringing them into our portfolios. Most of them are making it more holistic. Like, we don't share Whitehorse. The boat ramp and all of the river access is through BLM, and it's really cumbersome. We don't get any of the revenue, for instance. For people parking at Hog Creek, and so we empty all of the restrooms, take care of all the trash, provide security sometimes.
Maintenance on, like, when the parking lot needs to be repaved and everything, is that still BLM?
That's still BLM, but we would take it on.
And is it in good shape? Is it parking lot in good shape? So
it is.
That's something we don't have
bad.
To redo?
It's not bad. All of the parks stuff is going to need attention in the future.
Okay.
So, but if you have a revenue stream of being able to charge like we do for all the other parks.
Let the record show Commissioner Morgan's present, and what we're talking about is just kind of personal things to do, and before we got started on the actual department goals for 2018. And so Commissioner Hare was just sharing some of his things that he would like to get done in 2018. So. And I think we touched on BLM, transfer of lands to BLM from to us from BLM. Hog Creek Boat Landing and things of that sort. Anything else you want
to? Did you guys have a chance to really? I mean, I don't need to go through my whole list. If it's okay. I made a copy.
I think we can go through that and just kind of highlight what the thing I, you know, one thing about goals that I've always worried about goals is how achievable are they and in what time frame. You know, if it's something like, for instance, we've been working on a lot of stuff for 20 years and it still isn't done, that type of a thing. I don't call that a goal. I call that something that probably isn't going to happen. You know, but I mean, goals for, if we're going to go goals for, like, say, for 1 year, and this is your last year here, how many of those do you think you're actually will actually be able, if we really put our nose to the stone, took them one at a time or two at a time, how many do you think we could probably get done in the next year?
Honestly, a lot of them have actually been done, but okay. Some of them are, like, they're all broken out into programs, so they're achievable. I already did some of them, so it's just, frankly, it's not just my priority when we want to do facilities. If it's everybody's
priority,
then it's likely going to happen. But if it's just my priority, then it probably won't. Like, for several years, I've wanted to thin Wolf Creek Park. It's kind of dungeness. It's really overgrown, I'd say, and dark. And unless we have that as a goal in parks and the board, it's probably not going to
work through out there and get it done.
But this is the perfect time when the price is what it is that it actually might pencil to pay for it. Otherwise, we're going to probably have to foot the bill, and I think it makes that park better. But you just kind of go out there and mark the trees and turn somebody loose and then do it and clean it up, and it's done.
It's done, yeah.
But those are things that need to be on people's lists. So
I'm going to grab my list so I can get to you guys as well.
I can get you another copy if you want to.
Yeah, please do.
Take a look.
That'd be swell. I just got a few here.
My big one is probably the forestry management strategy, and I turned in a draft to State Streeter and Wally. The reciprocal rights-of-way agreement is done. Thinning project at Wolf Creek Park, it's on both parks and forestry. Consolidation of properties, that's a 20-year plan.
That's, yeah.
So, and he's got that on his list. Wildfire protection agreement, that's the CWPB. Commercial B lease, no, we're not going to do that. I wouldn't mind going through this real quick if you want a copy.
No.
Does that sound like a useful part of your guys' time?
Yep, that's what we're here for this morning.
So, I think, do you still have a copy, or do we need to make copies of this? Or?
I don't know that there's a copy here. If not, I don't have it with me right now. Mine's on the printer.
You can print from there?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So long as you connect to the GCSAP.
What's that?
It stands for the So we have the public access point, PAP, or secure access point, SAP, which is only those who have a county login. If you're on the SAP, you can print.
You're on the network?
Correct. Oh. And therefore you can print to any of the networked printers.
I've never done that.
I took a tumble this weekend and rolled my ankle pretty good and just wasn't going very quickly this morning. My apologies.
Yeah, a little bit fast this morning?
I'm just trying to get some support because I'm in a lot of pain.
The speed of light slowed down?
It's shooting up the side of my leg. It's just kind of one of those things. It's like I have a ramp. I had company stay with me a couple years ago in a wheelchair, and so we built a ramp off my deck, and there's just this little square that's in between the deck and the ramp, and I just caught the edge and just kind of caught the hole kind of thing. So
ouch.
I found that I couldn't sleep last night, and then I And then it's just kind of throbbing this morning, so it's...
Lots of painkillers.
Kind of looks...
I didn't take anything.
A little swollen, maybe?
Well, I got a brace on it.
Oh, well.
So, yeah, it's a little swollen.
While they're getting the copies, I've just got a few things that I would like to kick around. I'm not done with Southern Oregon Marijuana Initiative by any way, shape, or form. Also, I'd like to do something with the break area between Ambassador and Grants Pass, with City of Grants Pass, between Ambassador and City of Grants Pass. I would like to see us move towards a definite commitment from economic development funds to the airport every year, a certain amount of money for their matching funds. I've got a whole bunch of just small problems that pop up with, for instance, Mr. Wicks out there that's been challenging his ability to build two homes out there because we want him to put in a full-blown county street system, and, you know, just little problems like that. Mrs. Smith out on Clydesdale, another one. And we're going to want to work through these and close those out because they take a tremendous amount of time.
I went out to that place you've been dealing with. Is it on Williams Highway and Water Gap or whatever?
Williams Highway and
whatever
Water.
That one woman's on a curve.
Thank you. That's on New Hope Road.
New Hope.
Yeah.
I drove that the other day and I didn't notice anything different.
As you come down from the dairy, and you're going that way, and you make the sharp corner there where you can drive out there, and then you go this way. There's a pond on your left and a corner, and then another corner. Hers is the one with the white fence around the end of it, and that's the one that keeps getting taken out. People just drive that way too fast.
Well, what if you? I thought you said you've done something.
We have a new sign ordered for that. It's a huge slow sign with Last of Eric or whatever they call those letters, so they're reflective. And she says since we put the slow sign down there, that it has slowed down. She's been okay with it. I've asked Public Works to get a cure for that.
Yeah.
Whether it's banking.
Yeah, I just hadn't noticed anything changed.
Yeah. So Rob's given us his charge is to bring three options of what we need to do there with a price tag on each one or a relatively close price tag on.
Can we add that to the VCC projects?
And yeah, I think that'd be
a
good one to put on for the project.
So we are working on that.
That's one of my problems that I would like the citizen.
So how do you propose to? I mean, we should talk about a solution because it's an issue with building and safety and planning as well. And there needs to be a way of our clients to bring stuff to the attention of the board member, the liaison, or the full board. And I agree with the Wicks thing. They just needs to be made okay to go forward.
Our goal is we had three of them over here in Ambassador under weekly business session appeal. To both building and safety and to public works as I can't put my driveway in because of and so on and so forth. And those came to us, and I thought that was almost embarrassing over here. If there was some way we could handle these in-house before it goes over there, I don't know the legality of that.
It's a land use application, so that's really the RLDC's appeal process.
Right.
I don't know what.
So your thoughts on that, but I mean, you know, I'm talking stuff that's very, very simple in nature on a lot of cases, if it could just be handled.
I had thought that I had suggested, I don't know if I made this to the board, but that there would be an order that from the board that specified that planning director, building and safety, and public works would not be able to enact internal policies that were not reinforced by RLDC, state, or federal law. And your Wicks thing is an interpretation. It's a policy application. I don't think it's even an RLDC thing. And so my issues would come from that you don't have the authority to do those things in-house. Maybe.
Well, and I think the bigger issue, just to couple with what you're saying, I had somebody else come to me who they have an 18-acre RR5 property. They want to divide three ways. Mm-hmm. They want to put three family homes on it, essentially, for their kid, their retirement home, and another kid. And they have been to both several times. And all each time they go, they say, where do I start to get this driveway split to split? They're getting the runaround.
We can't have a shared easement right now in our code, and I think we need to fix that.
You can't have a shared easement?
It's not permitting you to do a development on a shared easement. Right now, if you go on the assessor's map and have all the... You see all those delineations with everybody having access, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's 10 lots that have been developed in an area, RR5, and they all have public access because of what our RLDC says. You have to have frontage in order to permit, which is ridiculous that we don't allow developments to happen off of shared access.
I miss the definition. Like, for instance, out on Mr. Wicks, he wants to put two houses up there on his property. He wants to bring a driveway in and go and share driveway to both houses. That's a driveway. But now we're saying, you know, if our...
circumstances, this other one.
Yeah.
What is our rules about driveways?
Wicks has applied for a comp plan zone change. We did that. And so part of that development, it requires... He's over the threshold. It's like 5 or something on a planned unit development, and that requires a road. You're just asking for 2.
And he understands that, but right now they want him to put in
the whole
that road, whole and he road. Hasn't. Curbs,
gutters, sidewalks.
Hold me a wheel.
The trigger should be when he decides to start selling that 80 off up there.
But for right now,
he wants to put in 2 homes with a driveway to those 2 homes, and he's being told no.
So
where's the difference between easement and a driveway?
The idea, well, that's up to somebody's interpretation. We'd have to get all that.
Yeah.
But this all comes back to the idea that if we didn't accept that into our portfolio, our standard for whether or not we care or not is a lot lower. They're expecting this. What Rob is worried about is the fact that he does a full meal deal and nobody's around to make sure that he comes and gets in a full-fledged deal.
And he doesn't mind signing a document stating that what he's going to do. But let's not get into that. But I think the frustration is he's been at this now for almost 7 or 8, a long time, and it's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The lady at Clydesdale, the same thing. She's been back and forth, and she continually gets hit back across the net between
your people,
between building safety.
Clydesdale is the easement at Public Works.
Yeah.
Yes.
But a different one.
Yeah.
But anyway, but just talking about that, and then the last I heard was I said something very, very simple, and then now all of a sudden now she had to lawyer up. She was told by Public Works that she needed to get a lawyer and draw all this stuff up, and that's what Rob's waiting for out there, when a simple letter would take care of it. So those are just things that I just think we just keep batting this thing back and forth until all of a sudden people are so mad at us they just can't help but vote no on everything.
And by the time they get to us, they're fed up.
Yeah, by the time they get to us,
we have more developable properties in Josephine County than
we should be encouraging development
in Jackson, and they can't develop them. That's what that ad hoc group that I brought in was saying. I mean, requiring development permits a bathroom remodel to have a development permit. It's like, what are we doing? And
well, in my mind, the end run is that who benefits by development? First off, county government does because it raises the valuation. And if we just continue to stand in the way of every kind of development because we're hinging on one little thing or one little... and nitpicking back and forth, and then we're clogging up legal with it eventually.
So we need a strategy with dealing
with
this.
I think we need a roadmap to navigate this thing and where it stops. So that's kind of the one. That's on my closeout problems with citizens. I get, and I would like to just take them one at a time and say, I'm going to stay with this until the end of the day, and it's going to be done, instead of swatting these things around. So... Gather Solutions to New Hope Road is on that one. That's that one. The panhandling at exit 61, is that up there on Merlin? I've had numerous complaints about the people panhandling out there, and that's an ODOT thing, and they do have ordinances against that, but I don't know if it needs to be a county ordinance. The city had to adopt an ordinance to do it here, no passing of stuff back and forth between motor vehicles and pedestrians.
You know, honestly, it should be a state trooper enforced thing, right?
Because it's state, it's on their off-ramp.
If it's ODOT, it's state trooper.
Mm-hmm. Should I call Art Anderson and ask him?
Yeah, or I'm sure Commissioner Warren has the liaison to state police.
541-66-4460.
Are you sure?
But the right person to talk to. Otherwise, you're going to get transferred.
OSP.
So it would actually be to start with Trooper Lieutenant Elzy is the lieutenant stationed for the Grants Pass office.
What's his name?
Elzy, E-L-Z-Y.
E-L-Z-Y.
And I can give you the local office phone number, or I'll get it to staff so they can get it to you.
Okay.
I want to say it's 955-6370, but that's by memory, and I could be wrong.
You follow through on that to Wendy or Ricky?
Yeah, so Lieutenant Elzy would be the one to have the conversation with, as he's the commanding officer at the Grants Pass office right now.
Okay. Another one I had was... the 4th and C garage over here, I talked to Nate, and I think we're coming to some sort of an agreement on the garage over there for the DD-214s to have their band practice and whatnot in there, and they're going to work together on figuring that one out.
So they were interested in the fairgrounds house?
No, they were not, and I don't understand why, but it, you know, this right here works for them, so I'm okay. If it works out for everybody over here, you know, let's just get it up.
God, that sounds, I don't know, in my opinion, putting veterans in a garage is awful as opposed to a house.
Yeah, but if it's,
is
if it
nice
fits there,
and cozy, and
I don't like sleeping underneath bushes and stuff, but some people do.
Lieutenant Elzy, so the local number was correct, 541-955-6370.
6370.
Correct.
Is the fair considering charging them or something?
Big pardon?
If that's okay, if that's the case, then was the fair considering charging them?
I don't know. I didn't get it. I didn't get that far. So.
I just don't like them. I don't want them to have the impression like this is the best that the county can offer you.
No,
that is to go.
But this is what they want. The DD-214s and Lisa want that garage. It fits their bill. It's close. So on and so forth. So
whatever.
Have you been in there?
No, I can take a look at the outside, and I wouldn't even want to go in.
I don't understand why they would. It's not enclosed.
Lily.
Okay.
That's what they.
I don't want to pay for something.
They have big dreams. So.
It would take some facility work. It would take insulating. It would take closing it off. It's literally open air, just with a couple weird doors. It's as cold as outside. It's not appropriate for instruments.
Okay.
So let's just let them work that out, if that's okay. That's one of the goals. It's just one of my...
Finding them a space to do music. How about that?
What's that?
Well, they found one. Is what Commissioner DeYoung says.
What's that?
I said they found one is what Commissioner DeYoung says. It just doesn't feel ideal. But whatever.
Okay. Another one is... And it isn't. And it's all of our Interstate 5 off ramps and the South Y and all of that. Those need to be re-landscaped. We look horrible compared. You go to Roseburg and it looks like Roseburg, all their exits and everything are just gorgeous. Medford's. You know, and I've done every one, and then they get to here, and I've asked, are you going to do anything with our exits? And they said, no. Absolutely. And I said, why? And they said, because you don't agree to water it. And so they gave that to David Reeves on the South Y, and he said, just to do the South Y was $16,000 a month to water that.
A month?
A month.
No way.
Because he's using city water, but right across the street is Grants Pass Irrigation's ditch. Why are we not using, why don't we get in cahoots with GPID to provide irrigation, a stub to each one of those? And every one of our off-ramps has a ditch right next to it. So I'm just going to pass that along to somebody else. But I want to see those, I want to see us get our fair share from ODOT as far as landscaping goes.
Well, and in Roseburg,
and the entrance to our
they
city.
Have low water I mean, on the one heading east, that's all, there's no grass. It's all just bark and those pretty landscape trees. So that doesn't take a lot of water.
But you go up to ours, and we've got a bunch of old juniper up there that's overgrown and full of plastic bags and Coke cups. We don't look good from I-5.
No.
And if we're going to do something, we're doing our share up there with making that north I. And it was just surprised me that McDonald's all of a sudden torn down. I saw Wendy's was closed the other night. I don't know if they're getting ready to tear down again and rebuild.
I guess my only concern is of all the things that we have going on in the county, I don't see that as a priority.
It's not a priority. It's on my pet projects that I would like to take on. It doesn't have, I'm not going to say, okay, we need to do an ordinance or anything. It's just something that I'm going to check on. So that's
okay.
Just so you know.
My concern would be that focus just on Brent Scott's appearance, and like in Illinois Valley, the big push is how do we get lodging? A nice, clean, Best Western minimum lodging out there so that, you know, we can attract
We have to spark an interest,
like that.
And
yeah.
That's one thing.
So all the entrances into our county kind of thing.
Julie's working on a signage theme for all entry points to Josephine County so that people would know that when you're coming in, it's not just we honor veterans. You know, like Rogue River Highway, that they would all be themed in a matter of welcome to Josephine County.
So that's a good idea.
And coming over the border from California, and that's what it is. So.
Williams Highway, I have no idea where you split when you're going out. 238?
Yeah, 238. Yeah. See Applegate, Seed Orchard, Provolt, Seed Orchard, okay. Provolt. That would be another
one. That's a good idea.
That's one of the things I think from being here for a little while is that look at some of your long-term goals for the remainder of your terms as though it's going to, what is going to give that most lasting effect on the county that will, you know, transcend your term? And I think signage and, you know, improvements to the community like that aren't small deals. They need to last. Policies, structure, stuff, those things are really good. Not just projects. Just my suggestion. That was good.
We have the other side of the freeway up there, that big empty lot where the state police used to be.
Yes.
It's just gonna sit there, but I've got something I might be working on that.
Good.
I mean, something really serious up there. But Commissioner Morgan, what do you have in your plate? What would you like to see happen here? And just,
well, one of the first things I've asked for some funding ideas, and there's some options. But we had a staff member in the last 2 weeks have a heart attack on duty. They're on lunch break with a couple other coworkers who had to do CPR and save his life, as you're aware of. And you know, we had a talk last year about putting AEDs in publicly accessed buildings, and we actually, as part of our ambulance service agreement, AMR is to put an AED in a county building each year, and they haven't done one yet this year, so they're going to do that. But
and part of their franchise agreement? Or what?
Correct.
Our agreement?
Their ambulance service agreement. So, but we're looking, I'm looking for trying to get some grants to get some other ones in there and just kind of wait. About $1,200 apiece. No, and there's a maintenance program. Every 5 years you have to recycle the paddles and various things, but it's still one of those things that it's doable, and most public places have them.
Like a fire extinguisher.
Do we have a prioritization about where they would go with the most, like, public and number of people?
So what I've done to make sure that we have a plan in place, I asked Ryan to get me a inventory of county-occupied buildings, and then we can kind of try to take a look at kind of what the need is and what the financing options are. But, you know, some of the staff specifically asked for, when I was on it before they even asked. It was kind of one of those things that I sent out some feelers to public health, AMR, emergency management, just said, I want to know what my funding options are to get grants.
Now, going back to AMR, how long have they been supposed to put in one, supplying one every year?
In the current ASA, and I'm going to follow up with Dave Matthews.
Is that
2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Just to see what the status of that is and where they've gone, and so that, you know, not wanting to duplicate, not looking for an expensive project, but wanting to make sure that they are for the appropriate. This is a man that was in his early 50s and physically fit by all, you know, it's kind of one of those things that it's just one of those, you see them everywhere, and it's, I'd like us to have the opportunity to save lives. So all in all, I kind of broke down my list. I said legislative advocacy, both through AOC and NACO and the committees that I'm a part of. Community engagement is to work with other agencies and districts towards common goals for the community. I still think that sometimes we're spinning our wheels, each doing our own thing without working with other agencies and seeing how we can pull resources and maybe get a better outcome if we're pulling those resources. And, you know, we've talked about what is the outcome measure for economic development, increasing the medium income level, education, increasing high school completion rates, workforce readiness, working with RCC and the high schools. So just kind of those are some of the ideas as far as what that means as far as working with other agencies towards those goals. I'd like us to continue to meet in the rural districts. We've had our one meeting out in Cave Junction, but we're supposed to do the other ones quarterly, and so I just want to follow up with that. And then focus on potentially the ability of getting a public information officer or one that focuses on the social media aspect. That's kind of followed up down in IT. And then the next part is department support and productivity, supporting the departments in completing projects and goals. You know, I put the ADs there and then just specific with some ideas with some of the departments, specifically of just things we'd like to see help them achieve. So.
Okay.
Pardon me. Terrible.
Was it a good breakfast or an eating one?
Probably a needing one. That banana's all I've had.
Don't write that down.
You eat on a regular basis.
Why don't he write? Okay.
Good stuff.
When a couple projects came up out of the Illinois Valley Fire Department Awards Banquet the other night. They are have engineered plans for a training and maintenance facility. But they need funding in the form of $800,000 to get it. So that's one thing they asked while I'm in D.C. to ask for funding opportunities for that. But the other project that had come up as a potential partnership that may look at the impact of some of those monies from the county building sale is the putting a little bit of maintenance into that pool the county donated to the city that has cracks in the bottom of it, so therefore the water leaks up through it, so they can't use it.
See it again.
Okay, so the county gave the pool, the outdoor pool on River Street to the city, but it came with a crack in the bottom of it.
There's a stream that flows underneath.
Yeah, and so it kind of floods up through.
It's totally dysfunctional.
And so there was a thought of, you know, could there be a partnership of some funding to help.
Can they put a liner in that? You know, they make those liners. That
there may be some different things. It's
they
more.
Can't afford the maintenance.
They haven't been able to afford the maintenance or staffing on it yet, but I think part of it would just be the thought was if there was that push to try to get it repaired, then potentially there would be customers.
Maybe other people would get involved.
If you build it, they would come kind of thing. And so it was just a conversation as far as, but part of being out in those regional areas is hearing some of the concerns that are affecting those regions. And
it's been an albatross for a while. I think I would recommend the board looking at that 2020 strategic plan about priorities for the Illinois Valley and not deviating too far from what the community has already said.
Yeah. Is that pool in their
list? I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, they were talking about converting it into like a homeless shelter style thing.
It's pretty vandalized right now. The building that and stuff like that. But, you know, I guess part of it is
it just sits there. Yeah, it's not attractive, that's for sure.
50 IV residents in a room and a topic comes up. And,
yep.
And you know, the 2020 plan is great. I think it was developed at a time that public safety was the number one thing and everything kind of focuses around that. And sometimes we neglect the simple things of what was it like when we were kids and could ride our bike down to Caveman Pool and swim all summer long.
True.
You know, and And just that impact of, do the kids of the community have a place to go? Do we take part in looking at the bigger picture of cross support of agencies and various projects with the funding issues in the county and in the city of Cape Junction? It's not their highest priority. But what would the benefit of the community be if kids had a place to go in the summer that was healthy and productive, that wasn't vandalizing or something else? So just kind of thinking in different terms of, something to do.
Yeah, that's,
to me, it's nightmares because I did swim team, and so it was...
There are areas of America that are now all of a sudden you thought they were completely down and out, and now they're starting to turn around because of community involvement. Mm-hmm. Areas in Detroit that we would not walk down through there now are becoming business areas, and they're taking, there's always going to be that, but I just hope that we don't put a bunch of money into something and just have it vandalized by the people. But maybe there's got to be that turnaround that may be what keeps it from happening. Good stuff.
I figured the rest of it y'all could read. I just didn't want to bore you with it.
I like your hard deals. You know, your defibrillators or whatever you call them. It's a great idea. And I see them more and more. And I think as they pop up more and more, people will be aware on how to use them and training that's available to use them. I guess they're
They're foolproof.
They are.
At this point, if you follow the instructions and the verbally tells you, and they have greatly come down in cost and they've come down in effectiveness.
Yeah, and I think, eventually they'll be required. Mm-hmm. So. Speaking of building and whatnot, I don't know how we're going to do this, or if Josephine County can have their own requirement for building that, for instance, is shelter or something of that sort, that doesn't have the solar panels and doesn't have the state requirements. I don't know how you can go against the state requirements if the governor says that's what she wants. But I didn't know if locally, because of the housing shortage here, that seems to be more pronounced here than maybe someplace else, that we can have a special category.
I've recently been in conversations with Representative Wilson's office and the new director of the USDA is assigned to Oregon, and as just far as looking outside the box and housing opportunities and ways that we can try to get some solutions. Jill Reese has been the one that's kind of primarily been with the USDA over the Cape Junction area, and I've talked to her several times in the last year, but really wanting to see what some of those solutions possibilities are. One thing that's key is with the governor's requirements for solar and all that, they don't go into effect until a couple of years down from now. So it'd be the encourage building and development right now before those requirements go into play. And there's always talk about what incentive can a county offer somebody to develop. Is there a partnership, that would encourage workforce housing or other housing development? But I think we've talked often about looking at our code and what is required in our code that is above and beyond what the state requires. And if it's more, why are we more restrictive?
Well, years and years and years ago, in fact, it was when my wife was a little girl. In fact, we went out and visited her house that she lived in Roseburg. And it's a little bitty house. It can't be any bigger than probably half of this room. And there was a whole bunch of them, and they were just, I guess you would call them low-income housing, and her mom was single and so on and so forth with two girls. And those houses are still there. They're still well kept up. The neighborhood is absolutely spotless. And I think they're still low-income housing. But at that time, they were out in Douglas County. They were not in the city of Roseburg, per se. But and I used J.D.'s Departments over here on D Street. You would never know that was low-income housing. And it has been for 50 years. It had baseboard heaters in it and 2x4 walls, but it serves a purpose. And it served that purpose 50 years ago, and that purpose is still here today, and it's still serving that purpose. So that's what I'm looking for, not Bill Lovelace's requirement at $220,000 per apartment. That is so far off the map of what your return on investment would ever be. And I don't know if that's, I think we are putting requirements on shelter, the same requirement that we put on Teeterman's house out there on along the river. You know, that you got to have the low U windows and so on and so forth. So those are things that I think may be another category of building that we strive for in Josephine County to answer our needs here. But I'm not really looking for state stuff. Maybe it can go to the state if we prove that it works here. So hard to say. Okay, Simon, we've got your list. Do you want to? You got anything more there, Commissioner Morgan?
No, I mean for now that's okay. A good start. Right. I think.
Then we'll get through these, and then we have all of our.
Unless you want
goals.
Me to go in details through the departments and talk about those.
You don't have animal control on there, and I think that would be.
Animal control moved under the sheriff.
Oh, okay. I mean animal, the levy. We're going to look at a facilities thing and all that plan. Do you have
it? Animal shelter master plan?
Oh, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, it's in there under public health.
I missed it.
Yeah, add that animal shelter master plan. I think it's very important because if they're going to need to move out there because they're not supposed to be by the airport, I think now might be the time to consider that rather than remodel that extra acreage next to them and build a facility and then decide to, or start to land a lot more corporate jets out there and it's.
As we're encouraging economic growth at the airport, it's going to continue to be. There's some animals that can't be housed out there because of it, so they are always looking for alternate placement to keep the distress of the animals down.
They don't. Do we have a large animal facility? That doesn't handle large animals.
Fairgrounds.
Just the fairground.
Is the only one that is equipped to handle stuff. Matter of fact, when that horse was loose, it was taken to the fairgrounds.
Okay.
So it's kind of one of those things. Of,
okay. All right. Commissioner Hare, do you want to continue on your list now that we all
sure.
have that in front of us?
Parks, group security and safety, it kind of goes in with the use of volunteers. I think we really need, a point person to be the volunteer coordinator for the county, to making sure that they're all have signed the waivers and done the background checks and all
idea.
Of that. It's actually not a responsibility in my mind of HR, or if it is, it's kind of tangential to their main focus. So somebody, in a lot of municipalities, there is a volunteers coordinator. Sometimes they're volunteer, and that's all they do. They call it. They get the volunteers together, and when people want to, they say, well, here's our 8 different opportunities, and I think it just makes a lot of sense to make sure that all the volunteers from the small engine club out there who do the forestry thing and pull the tractors and all that, that we make sure that everybody's.
Well, I think it would be probably to our advantage before we say we need to have a volunteer coordinator. Let's see how many volunteers we have and what their requirements are.
It's kind of falling on each department.
Program, yeah.
And, they say, go to HR and pick up the volunteer form because they house it at HR, but there's not really a follow-up. And I was at one point trying to increase internship practicum student involvement at Community Corrections as it's a career. It's, an opportunity. And that was kind of as I was working on a policy internally as far as requirements and backgrounds and all that kind of stuff. It's one of those things that they would need to be versed in many different areas. And
I like the idea of internships, and I've thought about that, but you really need somebody to kind of spearhead it.
To oversee the whole.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes
someone you can go to and say,
yep.
Look at the internship thing, and let them take it and run with it.
Yeah, I think volunteer coordinator is kind of a limited
mm-hmm.
term. It should be broader than that. But I think there's a lot of people out in the community that don't know what's available, and we really haven't taken time to put together a comprehensive list because every program does it individually.
Yeah.
Parks and Fair. I mean, there's hundreds of volunteers probably between those two right there. Search and Rescue. I mean, we should have.
They each have different requirements.
Yeah.
Different background requirements, different training requirements. The Sheriff's Office has reserves.
Right.
as well as volunteers, and they're separate.
And I don't want to micromanage what they're already doing. I just want somebody to kind of make sure everybody's...
Point person.
A point person, getting all of them signed the form. The city does a great...
Are you looking to create a new position or to take somebody that's already in...
We don't have anybody, I think, that we
could
reassign.
We don't have anybody that would
be somebody who could even get that volunteer, or a group of volunteers, to be that volunteer core team. Maybe it's somebody from every one of those groups has a representative on a core committee that works together to making sure that everybody's doing it the right way and that we're advertising. And I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of bang for the buck in having, you know, recruiting volunteers and making sure that everybody's doing everything they can in a coordinated way.
Well, I think if we had a policy as far as working with RCC and SOU as far as supporting practicum programs or interns, we used to have them all the time, and then there was a department head change where he had a requirement that they would have to do two terms in order to do it. Well, the two-term requirement caused people not to. They only have a one-term requirement in the university, so we all of a sudden stopped getting applicants. So having a consistent policy that's a countywide policy, and then finding who that liaison to RCC and SOU would be in order to encourage which departments would be able to handle an interim or a practicum.
What does it need to look like? To design a program, to oversee it, to make sure that it's not an additional burden to the manager, that it's like a real positive.
That it helps the manager.
But essentially, you know, I know at the water plant, they have a program partnership with RCC, and they end up hiring their summer help out of that program, and often those people turn into permanent employees.
Yeah.
And so is Public Works recruiting out of any program to see, you know, is it just engineering
Parks,
at OSU?
Forestry, all of those.
Yep. So it's some kind of partnership with the schools in a way that it's not just getting Jackson County businesses as the interns, and we want to have viable candidates, we should have an opportunity for them to, and it gives us an opportunity to get to know what somebody's like in their work.
So all of these are positives.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do you take it
and
implement it. Nobody here should be responsible for that program because we're all
busy,
temporary and busy.
Yeah.
But I think that's the hardest thing for us to do is it's easy to outline the need and, you know, what the outcome should look like. And then, but how do you do it? And I don't know if that's like an ISF thing that could be assigned to the internal service fund that everybody's paying for. And really, everybody could utilize maybe intern in HR when they're going through all of those applications. Or who knows what could be available through an internship and a volunteer program. But you got to have somebody who's, that's their goal. That's
but
their
is,
currently
is
the process is focused through HR.
I was going to say, is HR the... Is that the one that comes up with this template?
Right now they have the volunteer application, but it's not sufficient for what most of the volunteers need.
Right.
Search and Rescue has a whole training regiment. Sheriff's Reserves and Sheriff's Volunteers have their own training regiments and background clearances they have to do. They have to be CJIS cleared and all that other kind of stuff.
Is all that just out of the sheriff? I think what we want is one person to go to, and he has all the information to say, I want to volunteer for the sheriff's department. And instead, so we have to go out and see what the sheriff's requirements are.
Well, he's already, he or she's already done that.
Right.
So they know.
The one-stop shop.
They know the volunteer. They know the internship program.
Yeah.
You know, you say, I've got 2 hours a week. This is what I can do. Oh, well, you fit this bill. Mm-hmm. Or, no, you need to do the mounted posse thing. You've got a horse, blah, blah, blah. That's your interest.
So they do alcohol and drug treatment, always has an intern or two a terms. They usually, those ones last almost a full school year as they're getting their certifications for alcohol drug counselors. We used to have some that worked on the other side.
So how can we think, well, think about it. I mean, ways to implement it.
Yeah, I think it's great. I like the idea.
My only concern is that one of the things that I saw from the other side of things, not just from the admin, but from being a supervisor that hired people for the county, our standard for background check was there were things that fell through HR's background checks. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have a clear understanding of what was required on our site. And we found that as an issue with animal control hires through in the sheriff.
But if their point person was HR, and HR says, well, I want to volunteer for drug and alcohol counseling over over at community corrections.
That department still has to have the ability
would have,
to say yes.
HR would be able to handle those requirements and say, this is what you're going to have to do over there. And that guy would say, yeah, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
Or I can't qualify for
that. I think that some departments were going to find that they have to be able to recruit their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's fine. But I think that
as a starting point,
the threshold for, you know, parks may not need all of that.
Right.
They're just picking up trash. But if they are dealing with
what's
kids,
a quick form for
everybody needs
like
this.
My heart doctor says I need exercise. What can I do to volunteer out at the park? Says, oh, we're going to clear brush or we're going to do whatever we need.
Go chop trees. No, I'm just kidding.
But when you get more finite, like what you're going to need over in community corrections, that's community corrections.
But I am only bringing it up because there's under term volunteer with the county. There's a whole scope of what that means and levels of volunteering versus the lady who plants flowers at the fairgrounds compared to somebody who's got to be certified in underwater rescue.
Right. That person could deal with those differences.
Yeah.
They have a SAR coordinator. They have a reserve coordinator. They have certain coordinators in those departments.
And I think they still need to have
those. They still need those. Those remain in place. But just a one-stop shop to say, you know, I want to volunteer. What are my options? And you can hand them a piece of paper and say, these are some of the volunteer programs.
Yeah, I still think it should start at HR. And
with that,
we have the gov.gov website that they're doing applications through. That's kind of bringing things in the modern age. Well, the volunteer apps aren't there yet. And so the ability to bring technology up that could put those standards for each of the positions in a tech-savvy way is there, so it wouldn't be too much burden on an employee necessarily. But right now, I'm certain HR does not know all the volunteers in the county.
No.
Something to think about.
Something to think about.
Oh, you got us talking. Way to go.
I know. I have to change the name of the next one.
Yeah. I saw that. Number 5?
Yeah. Facilities. Well, the whole list, the whole title is wrong. Reducing unallocated space in the Justice Building and throughout the county. I think that comes under my goal of the master plan for facilities or our campuses. Something that we need to look at in that is facilities needs to relocate. Better utilization of the unallocated space in the justice basement for storage. We've got D Street, and really if we'd have thought long term 10 years ago, that's really probably where it should have been located. It's secure and it's in this building that we're not going to get out of, and we could have repurposed D Street to something better. Could have been planning or something like that, but right now it's just boxes and servers, which isn't a good use of that. I think on Commissioner Morgan's list, she's very interested in an interactive facilities project program so that we are tracking what requests are, and that you have an opportunity to...
I forgot that was on last year's list, yeah.
Yeah. Ryan's looking into that with the person that he's looking to hire, so it would all work really well, so you put in a request and people can see, you know, oh, facilities plans on being there. I shouldn't overpromise because I don't know if they can schedule it like that, but that they plan to be there on Tuesday or that they, you know, it's in the queue to be on this week, you at least have that kind of an update. Ryan can tell us more about what that looks like, but I think some of the other ones are pretty self-explanatory. One of the concerns that I have is this facade on the outside is just that. It's a particle board compressed composite facade, and if it doesn't have the seal on the outside of what looks like stone, it starts to absorb moisture and will be you can't buy this stuff anymore. It'll be a lot more expensive to replace. And so I think it's important that we just be conscious of that. And
where was that? I missed it.
All of the facade on the old original courthouse
that
looks like granite.
Yeah.
It's just a composite with a seal over it. And so there's like one contractor in the state that Ryan's reached out to that's qualified and able to do this. But you should be aware that if we, this is like the Dimmitt campus roof, if we don't take care of it now when it's cheap, it's going to get really expensive.
I would support doing that. And if you look at our columns, they're chipping away.
Yes. All of it needs to be updated, and or it's going to be real expensive. So right now, I think it's reasonable, hopefully, that you just you plaster over it and you seal it. But if it gets wet, it'll be good. Public Works. We've done Redwood Avenue and Allen Creek. The last thing we need to do with that is the fault line adjustments. So something in Public Works to remember is that when they do projects like that, it should be part of the project. And I've talked to Rob and Connie about that. But Lake Selmec Dam is under Public Works. I think that's really important that we all remember that that's not a wheelhouse of parks. They should be a partner in that. But they don't have the first clue about how to deal with a dam seismic element. There is one element of the IGA with GPID that does include Public Works. It's very limited roads, but I don't know where we're at on that. I don't remember if we've...
I would...
You'd be the guy to know.
I would guess that seeing how they're done with the city on their IGA, their next point of interest is going to be the county.
I thought ours was fairly easy.
And I think ours is going to be a lot easier.
Yeah,
than
we only have a few number of roads that actually in right. the, around the city that right. utilize GPID for storm drain runoff. Yeah. But that's important. Kirby Landfill Reclamation Project has been something that Rob has kind of been working on for years since I've been in office.
That's still a landfill, it's not a transfer station?
It's both. We are maintaining the landfill. It's county property. We lease the transfer station to Southern Oregon Sanitation to do that there. And that will probably always be that way. But we have a requirement as part of the to stabilize the soil over the top. It's just clay, and it doesn't hardly grow grass very well. So what we were supposed to be trying to do was take the solid waste from Cave Junction that has been accumulating for 20 years and plan to apply that to the cover and figure that out. So you just need to put a couple of inches up there, till it in, and then you can plant some sort of a shrub.
I'm assuming the transfer station had a recycling element to it. All over America, recycling is absolutely dying on the vine, and it's recyclers are no longer interested in recycling because there is zero money in it. Yeah. And now, like SOS out there, there's stuff they're having to stockpile because they can't get rid of it. And how is that going to affect our, like, for instance, Kirby Landfill?
Well, I think better coordination with the Solid Waste Agency should be on our list. Figuring that out.
I'd love to hear what their options are going to be if we can't get rid of the stuff. Do we start opening landfills again and go back to the old way?
I want us to relook at our membership on Solid Waste Agency. We've had a couple of staff people express interest, and as we've hired the person, and there's a staffing element that public health and community development are working on, that they're going to be bringing a proposal to us on a different staffing
yeah.
proposal.
They're going to be a solid waste, I think, is going to be a real player in the upcoming days when we start dealing with these compounds.
Correct. And
I support that.
I just keep forgetting. I forgot that was something that we're talking about.
Transit hub, that's probably needs to be on the list. So forestry, I've got a draft of the Josephine County Forest Management Plan, and it's in legal and forestry, so hopefully we get that in the not-too-distant future. My goal is to codify by ordinance that we don't deviate from a set formula on sustained yield, that we keep up with the Forest Practices Act and those kinds of deals, and we
exercise what the state should be exercising.
Yeah, we do. We don't cut in excess, and you know what I'm looking to try to achieve is something codified that we have a plan and we keep to it. Because managing a 60 or an 80 year rotation should not be varied from, you know, depending on who's sitting here, and if it is, it shouldn't be done lightly.
Thank you.
It should be, you know. I have to go through a certain process. consolidation of properties is a long-term thing. The wildfire protection agreement with BLM and Forest Service, that is the CWPP, which we've done already. Building and safety online services for the operational, they're working on that. I want to do more with the CLT stuff, and I've got a meeting lined up with Valerie Johnson, who owns D.R. Johnson and Riddle, who does the CLT, and the city. And so when they're considering doing, like, the parking garage downtown, Springfield is getting in the last stages of their whole certification engineering. Everything's been pretty much done. To maybe just take that and do it, you know, down there on the corner across from Juvenile. That would be, I think, a very cool thing to do. I think we've updated almost all of our county lease agreements, so that's been done. We've liquidated most of our foreclosed and unnecessary properties, but we're still working on that. And then the transfer property project I already talked about. I'll brief you guys more before I leave for D.C., so you'll know the whole list, what we're planning on doing, and we'll kind of do a dry run-through, I think, on the 28th before we leave for D.C., so that you know exactly what I'm looking to try to accomplish. The assessor's office is looking at new software and bringing us a proposed contract here before the end of the fiscal year. And I think
I have a question, just, and I'll just throw this out there because we're on assessor. If for it is, then I'm just asking a question. Is the, going back to marijuana, for instance, on the OLCC side, is that public record as to where those canopies are and how much they are? In other words, if I called OLCC and I gave them an address, they said, yeah, that's one of our grows, will they give me the amount of canopy that is applied for by square footage? Is that public record?
I have no idea.
As far as if it's a micro tier 1 or 2, tier 1 or tier 2, I believe, is on their posted certificate on site.
Okay. OMMP, same thing. Do they have an address with how many plants
Yes.
are on that?
And that's the only county person that's officially able to ask that right now is in planning.
In planning?
Yeah. Julie Schmelzer's office.
Okay. Okay. That's just a question I have. I'm just thinking ahead.
Jumping down to emergency preparedness, I think maybe on your list, Commissioner Morgan, would be a couple tabletop exercises. ISO training for some, maybe not all, but those that. What I'm looking for is that if this regional proposal doesn't really go through like we had originally planned with Medford and such, and it doesn't feel like it's.
Medford's out.
Yeah, I don't.
But
I don't
it's
know
not
how
out.
It's.
Jackson County's not out yet. So I have a meeting set up, I want to say Monday.
If we only have the depth of one person again, if it comes back to city grants passing, us, we really need to put together, this was my vision, you can take it how you want to, but we need a core team of managers that can support that emergency services person. It's obviously the sheriff's office, their search and rescue coordinator.
Public Works.
There's a handful of that makes sense. Probably Parks and Fairgrounds as well.
Our emergency preparedness at public health.
Exactly. Yes. So that there is a team of people who can kind of insert themselves in the event that one of those people is down. So that the whole team knows what everybody else is doing. And if anybody is not available, it doesn't fall on.
Let's just increase our odds that somebody's there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so if
Sarah gets, all into one.
If somebody gets pulled away, then there's somebody who knows how to open the EOC, operate it, who's coordinating the volunteers, how all of that stuff works. And right now, we don't have that, so our depth is one. If we can't solve it externally, we need to solve it internally. That's something that I think.
We have a little bit of depth of people who step up.
It's a little bit, but Joseph Rice, he was a big player in that, and he's not here anymore, and it's been a while since we've had any kind of coordinated training and stuff. So.
Okay. I'm not familiar with what Joseph Rice is.
Robert.
Okay.
Former building and safety director.
Thank you.
Yep. He was really interested in that, but he's not here anymore.
See that.
The federal, all of that stuff is state lands, Josephine County returned to the county. There's Carl Wilson did that piece of legislation, and so that'll probably be worked out in the agreement of the lawsuit. I think the other one is, all that other stuff is kind of obvious. I think the travel reimbursement policy's kind of been done, so that's not really as much of an issue. It just,
I know Arthur's working on it.
Kind of needs to be that everybody is on the same page with that, and it's been refined over time, but I still think that it's making progress, which is good. It just needs to be, there's a lot for that one person to do with all of the expenses and stuff, and so whatever we can do to keep it simple.
Is that something that we need to hear from finance as far as from them as to what they would like to see?
Arthur's going to be bringing a
Arthur going to bring something that's
policy ahead. Recommendation yeah. update.
Okay, perfect.
I don't think that the LDAC recommendations are still relevant, but there are elements of them that are. So those are something that I inherited when I came in the office. The large animal deer winter range thing needs to be fixed. I don't know if that's being proposed as a solution to the IGA that we did with the DLCD on the resource zone stuff. I don't know if that's in there or not, but I'm not sure why we have to have one. Coos County doesn't have one. And she's on DLCD, so if it doesn't make sense for there, and they've got elk, I don't understand why we have one. We hardly have any elk, and that would be the protection thing that I would see us needing to do something for. So if that could be back to Commissioner Morgan's point about an access to what state law requires, why we have it, and it's not, I don't think it's necessary. Southern Oregon Regional Pilot Project is something that I think you guys should continue to watch. Douglas County is looking to implement an RLDC, a Rural Land Development Code change to there, and they're looking at most of what Southern Oregon Regional Pilot Project, Executive Order 1207, tried to accomplish. So that might be something that we look at. Their cubic feet per acre is probably too high and is going to be appealed, and they'll probably lose. I think if we adopted the 50 cubic feet per acre for forest management as a threshold, somewhere around there, 50 or 60 cubic feet per acre. I know that may not make much sense to you now, but it will when you deal with that, and that's a big deal. There's also the element of concentric circles around communities, so not necessarily incorporated cities, for higher density development and maybe lower thresholds for the formula that allows to accommodate higher density stuff. So around Merlin, you should be able to permit some RR5 stuff around there.
Yeah.
That's where the density should come from.
You get pushback when you decide you're going to take big chunks of in-the-city property and do something with it, when you've got all kinds of land out there that you could make a small community, basically, higher density.
Yeah, it's really how state law is set up to keep stuff, urban sprawl, to a minimum. But we can talk about that. Consolidation of dispatch, I really think that was an issue years ago. I don't know if it still is now, but I think long term for repurposing where 911 is, if they go over there, and then, you know, this is your issue.
Yes.
I don't understand it or know it that much.
We're going to have an equipment issue.
Yeah.
And so right now, even having the split dispatch, there's a central area where IT and communications has had to send things two different directions and such. But if dispatch moves, we need to be a part of that conversation as far as what happens with sheriff's dispatch.
Just as long as it's on your radar?
Yes.
You've got the public relations thing. Economic development, nothing new there. Oh, we did a planning community development director. Economic development committee's done, but they need direction in the campus redevelopment, forest management efficiencies.
I get, like I said, economic development to me is just a real, that's an exercise. I mean, just,
yeah.
You know, we spend so much time on it. And I, you know, like I said, one of my deals was to dedicate some economic development money to the airport, because I think there is a real return on your investment there. And I don't see that with other things they dump economic development money into. So if we could say, okay, every year we're going to carve off so much of it, that's money we don't need to worry about trying to find a place to have it come back. Airport seems to be for 5 years or whatever until we get the airport built up, that it should be, you know, almost dedicated at the beginning of the year when you get your economic development funds, that Larry Graves or whoever his successor would be can count on that for so many years, X number of dollars. That's what I would like to see.
I think there's a couple funding streams, and I don't mind.
Yeah, there's other funding streams, but I mean, I was just on there for the quick one. Economic development, to me, the bang for the buck is real concern for me. I've got it for that I don't, you know, I've watched the breakout groups, and I've seen the grease boards and all of the other stuff, and all the same people in the room saying the same thing, but then I don't really see anything come of that. And you know, whereas, you know, Larry has proven over and over again, you give him $10 and he'll get you $100. So, you know, just use it for his, and that seems to be the hitch in his get along, is they keep changing the rules on their match. So, you know, maybe that's something we need to consider.
I think a focused strategy of appropriating dollars is really key for that. We've been talking about it for years, but there really isn't, and it should be broadband. And it should be airports.
Yes, yeah, very things that are important to the whole community. What is going to bring back the most for the whole community? And I don't know where, and I'll just throw out
it. High school graduation rates.
I'll just throw out it, you know, like for instance, what was the trailer house people that were out here? They were here for exactly 5 years as Coachman. The people that made RVs out in the North Valley, Coachman, what was that called? Anyway, it doesn't matter what the name of it was, but they were here for 5 years and then they're gone. They had a huge employment opportunity, and boy, we're going to put all these things together. And then in 5 years, they moved to Tennessee or someplace that had lower tax rates than we did. So I don't know how you get lower tax rates than we have around here, but.
State. Yeah. Our state's not very
good. So those to me are economic development dollars that didn't really gain us anything for the long haul. Whereas 2,000 feet of runway really does gain us something for the long haul, because you're not going to go out there and tear that up.
One of the things I think we don't market well at the airport, at least that I'm aware of, is that when I was in Salem, I was meeting with the Kingsley Air Force Base commander, and he was talking about what a national treasure this airspace is as far as technology development. And you know, they only use it like for 4 hours a day. So for 20 hours a day, it's really available to other people,
you know,
in a way that you can't find airspace in the country this big, this available. And then you've got the Calmeopsis. So I think it's important. Maybe Larry can come in and brief you guys. I've seen it when we were doing the Manor Community Development Project. They brought in a aerial map of Oregon and this huge square that's just available, that's like not a no-fly zone, but kind of. I'll let them explain it.
I just, the variety of, I've been over out of Adel up in the towards Fort Bidwell and watched B-52s fly over so low because they're going to the bombing range in Nevada. But they're flying over. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of stuff we can do out there.
I did notice they just got their 77-year extension on their lease, which was kind of cool to Kingsley.
Yeah.
But anyhow,
2095.
You know, to me, economic development, it goes straight to, are we doing anything to increase jobs that are increasing the medium income level of our community? So one of the things that came out of going on the trip to D.C. 2 weeks ago, there was a cohort from Grants Pass High School there, and that four-member team is part of our prevention cohort. They've been doing every couple of years a cohort for prevention and training people in the community in prevention from all over the county. So,
prevention of what?
Alcohol, drug, tobacco use, and youth. So it goes back to if the kids don't start, you're less likely to start.
Yeah.
I should say gambling. is one of the other prevention ones they look at. They're looking at a policy recommendation of no cell phones in District 7. Clackamas County did this in 2009. The first year was chaos. After that, they saw a bump of 17% the first year of their graduation high school or high school graduation rates. Distractions were out. The instant social media pressure, the bullying, the everything else going on instantly on phone was done. And they
I can't believe they allow them in schools.
I can't either.
And it's just one of those things that one of them was talking about. One of the students had a complete emotional breakdown. And it came down to the mom had texted a picture of a pair of jeans she had bought her daughter. And it's like, what are you doing texting your kid over what you're shopping in the middle of school day in the first place? But there's this disconnect of what the purpose of school is and what's going on there and the stress that the kids are going under, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
The idea of the bullying being, you know, you don't react immediately. You have to go home. You have to think about, you know, if there's this degree of separation between your initial reaction and when you're posting something. That's a good thing.
Bullying was handled a little different at Grants Pass High School when I went
there.
You smacked the guy, and that was it. You got it over with.
Right.
It was done. It's the old days.
Well, anyhow, it's...
Well, it's all going to improving high school graduation, right?
I'd be...
Which improves our workforce, which and gives us an ability to...
I'd be interested in the Clackamas model.
It's nothing we have any say over. It's a matter of... They're going to have pushback when they present.
It'd be interesting if, like, the Board of Commissioners could cite the Coming Jobs Board book or the Gallup, done by the Gallup guy, who says if you improve high school graduation is the leading indicator of a successful economy, and so there that's the only correlated in 180 countries. So it almost brings up, like, if we were to partner with the school districts and say we'll fund 50% of a high school graduation coordinator or something like that, some person who is just tasked with the idea of whatever they can do. Bringing those numbers up. That's all they do is focus on that.
Well, you know, talking, and here again, when you get the economic development, that is one of the markers that people ask for. What's your graduation rate?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 68.5. And they go, whoa, I don't know. And I think to what you said, there's so many distractions going on up here that kids aren't getting an education, or they're losing interest in education for some other thing.
Would that be any position?
That's a tough one.
Like a county graduation?
Well, right now, both Three River School District and Grants Pass have job readiness positions and where they try to get internships and various things, but they also get pushback from the education piece of just different criteria, and so... or how much they can ask of people. But I would say starting with working with those two positions to see if there's a need of something more would be a good place to start.
What's been challenging for me is that the job place readiness thing is they never discuss the I don't feel like they really even know. These position people don't even really know all of the options out there for workforce. They know what they've been exposed to. But the one thing that people... Like, just as an example, is that there's a group of people who fly around the world and sail major yachts to where the owners want them. And that's becoming more and more. This person probably doesn't even know or saying that exists. I mean, it's exposure to stuff like that.
It's the exposure.
People are not exposed to stuff.
I'm big on that because, like I said, I'm a product of that exposure because I would have never thought heating and air conditioning was my lifestyle. Never until I was exposed to it in the United States Navy. I went to the industry day up there at the high school, and I watched in the metal shop making GPs on a laser cutter. And I want to talk to, in fact, the guy that the instructor up there is in the active club, and I said, you and I need to visit because I can get Carrier Corporation, for instance, to supply all of the stuff for those kids to learn how to install a furnace in nothing flat. They have all.
Why haven't it done yet?
But I'm serious. Because they could go to any heating and air conditioning shop in Grants Pass, Medford, anywhere in Southern Oregon, and walk in and say, do you know how to install ductwork? Yes, I do. Because it is really simple to do, especially with today's products. But if you could show them how to build a plenum for the top of the furnace, and the takeoffs from that and how to do the squared rounds. Simple stuff. Not a full-fledged apprenticeship four-year program. I'm talking in your 9 months that you're going to be in your senior year metal shop, you're going to walk out of there with some sort of trade that you can get started in something that really isn't that bad. You know, and everybody's not lined out for college. I see people going to college that absolutely
right.
shouldn't be there.
Right.
I was one of them. I self-said, I'm not going, Dad. Don't waste your money on me because I'm not worthy of it. So I didn't go to college. But I wasn't about to fall through the cracks because I was going to go somewhere. I knew it somewhat that when I was exposed to the right thing, it would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, like I said, I could get Carrier Corporation to sponsor a program in the high schools for just sheet metal, not,
yeah.
you know, making signs and stuff like that's fine, but just general sheet metal, and I think that it would be fine, and I would love to talk to school board about that.
Yeah.
Because they could crank out people. They had a program out of Ropeway College at one time for the service aspect,
right.
but it's so complicated. You just need to, you can pick that up in the field, what you need to know in the field.
Right.
In a year of working for a heating and air conditioning shop. So exposure, I think, is fantastic. And how do you expose
people? Well, and Rotary is trying to partner with them in a way of doing some vocational training yeah. and updates. There are groups in the community, and this is, again, where we start looking at that we get outside of our silos and say one of the functions that commissioners are is we're conveners. So how do we maybe bring those players to the table in a different way? I really wanted to have somebody from the school district present on the economic development. You guys heard me argue emphatically mm-hmm. about that. The only representative they have is the Small Business Development Center from RCC. That's an underutilization of an education representative.
That's almost too late in development.
That's somebody that's trying to get a business started. That is not somebody representing education. And there's
right.
nobody representing education on that economic development. And so we lost an opportunity to have the school board directly at the table, you know, but we can still convene that and we can still have that conversation.
I think we're in full agreement there.
I'm not sure how effective that committee is. So it would be almost, they could still attend. But
no, but it could be something we convene a meeting and say,
exactly.
How do we do something?
Be improved.
Yeah, not bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Getting something done.
Yeah, okay.
The fire protection standards?
Yes.
Is something I think you inherited, Commissioner Young.
I need to follow up with one piece. And then I just hadn't. It is on the top of my list. I had a conversation this weekend. I had a conversation last week. We're starting to get complaints from somebody will call 911 for a medical emergency. Rural Metro responds as a fire agency as support to AMR and then bills the individual because they're not a fire service client. I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. They said, well, it's because they're owned by AMR. I said, no. If that were the case, then they wouldn't be saying, because you're not my fire service client, I'm
right.
going to bill you.
It would be.
And every agency has the ability to bill. Grants Pass, police and fire can bill for every traffic accident they go to, but they recoup those costs through their tax levies and such that they do. But
I can bill if I get in a traffic accident and everybody shows up and I'm perfectly fine, I didn't call anybody. That seems terrible that I would be obligated to pay for a fire call.
Well, if extrication was needed, road bucket and all that
like
kind of
that.
Stuff.
Yeah, no,
I mean, if they show up, they're canceled, they're turned away, that's a little different. But it's kind of like you have a right to refuse an ambulance. You can transport yourself to a hospital
right.
at some level that your decision is taken away if you have an altered level of consciousness or something.
The one that always frustrated me was at a traffic accident, and you can bill the insurance company for that traffic report, and they don't do that.
So there's a lot of things going on there, but it's at the forefront, and it is something I want to bring back up.
Kind of needs to be on the list.
It does. It needs to be, and honestly, I have a list ready to almost go, but there was two components left that I needed verification with. One of them I've gotten done, and the other one I've left a couple messages, just phone tag, and I forgot to follow up with.
Well, it's been an ongoing thing. It's not as though it can be done tomorrow, but I think having each of these with a plan, and that's kind of gets us to this list of, there's a couple other columns that are missing, and I don't know what they are, but, you know, like, what are
started
those, what's the next date
in progress, yeah,
what's the next time that we're revisiting this board, or what's the next task, who's going to sign that,
yeah,
stuff like that, and then we can get, you know,
kind of, it's a Gantt chart essentially of
progress and completion.
Correct.
Okay, so where are we at? We're still on assignments list.
Yeah, I don't know what more there is to, you guys probably.
I do like your association for counties and rural county caucus. I'm a huge proponent of that.
Do you take part in the phone calls with NACO, the Rural Action Caucus?
Okay.
No, I'm asking.
What's that?
Do you take part in those phone calls?
No, I don't.
Okay. I apologize on your list, MVIP, North Valley Industrial Park. I knew it, it just didn't come. I apologize. Well, this one I see is kind of a past list of where we at with it. Is things
some,
have gotten
that's
done.
The comprehensive. This is.
And this is just kind of a where we're at.
This was a start. I need to consolidate them. I'll do that. Oh, I've got a thought about private property rights ordinance. It's kind of like if it's not state or federal law against it, it's kind of like it's permitted, you know. You don't have the right to do anything on your property. You can't dig a ditch to put a water. I mean, you can't have a little box building around your pump house without a permit. It's like, really? Who cares? Like, why does anybody care about needing a permit for that? I don't understand. It's not inhabited. If it burns down, you're the one without water. I mean, what could possibly.
It used to be that you could build a 10x10 structure without it having to be permitted.
Yeah. Needing a foundation.
Well, why did we get away from that?
I don't know.
Need to revisit.
I would have this debate with
Robert
Rice. He's like, well, if somebody buys the property and blah, 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 and they come in and then they're injured, it's like every property you buy with the understanding that you inherited, you know, the challenges. And that could be part of the negotiated.
Before you get it inspected.
Yeah. And if you get it all permitted and everything, then you have the opportunity to charge more when you sell it. But if nothing's permitted or blah, 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 then somebody wants to take that on, then you're only going to get this. I'm only going to write you a check for $100,000 because your property, nothing's permitted or whatever.
I've got to start
Fine.
Over.
Yeah. Fine. That's the outlook. That's the outcome. But like my parents' place, if we're never going to, I don't think we are ever going to sell it. It's been in the family for 60 years this year. It'll probably be in the hands of the heir, whatever, for another 60 years. We're the only ones with liability. If it burns down, you know, so what? It's us. We'll rebuild or we won't.
The only thing, the insurance company is starting to get involved in that, because if you put in a wood stove and don't have it permitted,
yeah,
and your house burned down, you don't get insurance.
Oh, well, yeah. that's the ramifications.
Yeah.
That's your choice. Why isn't there a choice included? No. There's just no choice anymore.
Well, I think on almost everything there's alternatives, but people don't look at the alternatives.
Well, what I don't like is that people are found in violation or they're on that unlaw-abiding side. Why is there a law that makes these people, you know, they don't have a compound, they're just normal people put in a pump house or a shed 10x10?
Put a shed in so they don't have the appearance of a compound.
Yeah.
And put in a shed to store themselves, and you're going to punish them for putting in a shed to store all that pile of old tires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
I think that's my list.
Okay.
I think this was I think we should do this like quarterly. We talked about
more
a lot of stuff.
Updates. I think quarterly
what's
updates.
Really helpful is that we don't spend too long talking about like the volunteers. Okay, we're all on the same page that we want one or we find a need. Don't iron out exactly what's the next step? Who do we hand that off to? Do we give that to JJ and say, hey,
why don't you
go contact your other HR people, and it's on this list of best practices in there, and figure out what are ways that other counties are doing volunteer coordination. And there could be some way that's already
the board is interested in volunteer as a whole.
Figure it out.
What do you do?
Who figures it out?
I know we did look at one software as far as a project management kind of tracker. It was kind of complicated at the free level. I don't know if we wanted to get to a level of seeing what the next level up with pay, or to see if there's another
program
out there that would better suit our needs. But I think just kind of tracking, having those deadlines on there that as they come up, they get brought onto our agendas as a regular, it's time for us to talk about that.
How are you doing?
Yeah, and just kind of keeping us on track of some things would be helpful.
This would be a good start. I think we put this into it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's
stuff.
Do you
suggest doing this on a quarterly basis? On a quarterly update, just like we have for...
If we can do it monthly.
There may be some things to update monthly. Other things, you know...
I think this level of a discussion quarterly, but we will have that list of things that should be teased out that we should talk about on a monthly
come back.
Basis.
Don't talk necessarily about every one of these, but talk about what you've done.
Correct. Or any deadlines coming up that we need to make sure that are on our radar.
This is where I am on this particular project and go from there.
So we all had stuff that we wrote down in excess, you know, jogged our memory or thoughts. So let's put that down on paper. And then we give it
into one document.
To the one
email to Ricky Wendy.
All right.
And maybe we highlight it in different colors or something to say this is, you know, Commissioner Young, Morgan, Harris, and then stuff that we would star to highlight. We need to revisit this monthly. We need to revisit.
And I'm sure we're going to have some overlap. Something's on your list.
Oh, sure, but
mine.
Somebody should be running point.
Yeah.
Somebody, because if shouldn't be just. Committee doesn't get much accomplished. One person saying, yeah, that's right, I'm in charge of that, or at least the next step.
Right. Okay.
Well, and there's different things that we have passions about. For me, I want to get that AED project done.
Saved his life, but that will, I will make, I'll just endorse. It sounds
sure.
great.
And that's great. And then I'll get it done.
Yep,
and then
great.
It's
and
our
then
project
get,
done.
Yep. Just yep. not inspired.
Great job.
And there's going to be things.
If it happens to me, I am a do not resuscitate. I'm ready to go right now.
You don't want
you say
not
that.
A thing. I don't want you to even plug it in. Don't waste the electricity.
You know what?
Ready to go.
Dude, you're younger than me. I have a hard time not checking your pulse and doing CPR.
It's okay.
I won't do mount
to
mount.
Tomorrow.
But pumps are enough.
I'm going to tell you that when the time comes and you think, oh, I'm ready to go, just check me out. Just say, you know what? You will fight with every ounce of your being to stay alive. I guarantee it.
You know what? Make your peace with God. When it's your time, no matter what's done.
Yep. Then it'll, and if it doesn't work, but when you get to that point, you're going to go, wait a minute.
No.
Why are you looking at me?
No.
Beat on my chest.
I would close my door and just kind of lay down on the couch.
You're not going to have
to do it quiet.
Have you told your mother that's your plans? Because if I'm going to have to look your mother in her eyes and explain why I'm trained in CPR
and
didn't.
Yeah. Well, don't do anything that negatively impacts you. If, you know, I don't want you going to court and having to defend yourself. Well, he said on record, January 20th, 2019.
Turn the volume up on it.
Do I get sued because I did CPR?
Well, it's in the minutes for
there's people who
February
have done
20th.
That. Do not
okay.
do that. Don't
so we have our department goals here. They're all right in this packet that you put together for us.
Because
okay.
they just came in, maybe we should take a day to look at them.
Yeah.
I think we need to do it. It's quite comprehensive, so I think it's probably a good idea.
It
some of them came in today.
It might not be a bad idea to talk about our two-week schedule. I know we don't have it necessarily up anywhere, but so Commissioner Morgan and I are, that's next week.
I leave Thursday because I have
yes,
the
committee
on Friday, so I went a day early.
Mine's on Saturday, so I leave Friday.
And Saturday morning is the event that the steering committee meeting that I facilitate the discussion.
So that you're going to be gone all this?
So March 1st, I fly out, and
26?
I fly March 1st.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You fly out March 1st.
And I fly back March 9th.
And back 9th, okay.
I fly out on the 2nd, and I'm back on the 7th. I think I'm back on the 7th.
Okay.
Okay, I'm leaving on the 1st and coming back the 6th. So
cool.
We'll have.
So we need a weekly business session.
On the 7th, we'll be canceled for no quorum.
Yeah, I don't get in.
You won't have a quorum
here.
I'll be back here, but I won't. But we won't have a quorum.
I don't get in until 9, but we can do it on Thursday. We can do both. Should we do one? Do we need to do one on Thursday?
On Thursday, the 8th?
The 8th.
Yeah, do both.
Are you going to be back? Are you going to be back, Lily?
I will not be.
You won't be.
So it's up to you two.
Yeah, I get in at 9 o'clock. That's the goal.
Okay.
So I could do a Thursday.
If we... if we just don't do this one and just not do one this week and bring it to the 14th, is there anything worth battling that we're going to be?
I don't know. Let's evaluate that and we'll.
When we get closer?
We have to see what's on the admin next week, but I'm gone for the admin on the 1st.
I'll be here.
I'll be gone for the admin on the 1st. I'm going to leave here and come back here.
Okay, so we might need to do admin on the 28th.
So if you're not going to have an admin here,
no, we need to have
make
one.
It.
So
we need to have one on the 28th then. And that will tell us
on the 28th. Okay, have an admin on the 28th before we leave see if we have anything to schedule an 8th.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's see how heavy our admin is this week for our weekly business session next week, because potentially if we can go right from weekly business session into admin, because my afternoon is tight up.
This one's very small, so it's doable.
That would be great. So next week, the 27th, is CAJO Day. I assume we're moving the general discussion to 11, right, like we normally do, just an hour general discussion. And then we have legal that afternoon.
Sounds good.
It shows the city county quarterly update at 11 that day.
Great. Do we have, we should be thinking of things to talk about.
Can you get that on our system?
No. The city county quarterly update. The urban renewal presentation, I think. Didn't you ask for something like that?
We did, but I don't think we got anything.
Okay. We should ask again then. I think that's important. You've been talking about how we need to get out front, have a project list, be in the queue, because if we start talking about this already after they're done, there's nothing left.
Once you can't, you have to have projects in the initial.
Yeah, those
10 years from now, and you say, yeah, I want to do that. You go, well, you're not over here. You weren't.
Yeah.
You weren't in,
right.
You weren't out of the gate, so therefore you're not involved.
Well, maybe
they can't just add projects to that either.
Well, we've talked about selecting the North Valley Industrial Park project manager, and I think that that person, that company, Moll, Foster, and Alumni, can also provide us a facilities master plan. It's under the contracting threshold, so we should be able to maybe have that in the queue, and maybe I can work on that.
My reservation with their urban renewal is I think it's a 30-year.
A long time.
How in the world 30 years from now, if you didn't put something down in 2018 on the original list, in 2030 you just can't add it to it?
Now they have 18% of their total urban renewal capacity is delineated, so they've got 7.
I get that.
And I think they inherited,
but the project 13. You want to do in 2028,
so they might have that's impossible,
or 25 years from now. It's not even on the list today, and you can't do it if it's not on the list.
Yeah.
I have an issue with a 30-year urban renewal. We've sunsetted a 20, didn't we, Commissioner Morgan? That was a 20, the one that we sunsetted?
It was a 20 plus 10. Remember, they had the reserve?
Yeah.
Boy, that Tuesday with legal is not. I've got the housing and community development meeting at 1:30 and then parks at 3 and legal at 2 on the 27th. That just isn't working out. I don't know why. I guess it's just once a month that everything seems to come down.
Yeah. If we need to move legal's time.
So are you talking KJO on the 27th?
Yeah. And then the Monday, ONC and American Forest Resource Council are meeting quarterly, the executive committees, to talk about federal legislation. I think that leads in really well to getting back to D.C. right before all the things we're doing. But they're hosting the meeting in Springfield.
Is there something we need to do about the sequester dollars?
On the Forest Service, we're working on that.
Okay.
I think the outcome of the ONC shared receipts being sequestered gives us, a good leg up on the other thing, but it's being handled.
There is an email we all received maybe about housing sustainability tiny house symposium in Albany on or Linn County Fairgrounds in Albany on March 13th, which is the day after AOC. I don't know if we want to see if we can send Julie or if there's someone should attend. But
you know, Wally went to a housing thing in Portland last week, and I don't know what that was about. Or it seems funny sometimes, the disconnect. Are you aware of that? You're the liaison. So.
No.
It's funny stuff where it happens, and like I didn't know about it. So. Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's probably going to be a lot of these going on. I went to that one, the accessory dwelling units, and Julie's was there, and she's working on. But we should see if anybody's going.
I'm just going to forward it in the email.
Julie
and.
Love it. So maybe we can move that legal on the 27th next week. I don't know what's a better day. That whole week is just.
It's an ugly week.
That whole week is going to be a can of worms. We've got 3 days to jam everything into.
So, from what I understand, we are going to the Transforming Local Government Conference.
I think we're all signed up for it.
We're all signed up for it.
When is that?
That's it.
First week of April.
That's
so,
the first week of April?
Yeah, none of us will be able to be at the manager's meeting that month.
It's Dan's turn.
But I was going to go because of the February-March conflicts, but now we have February-March-April conflicts. It works lovely.
Is it that whole week?
We have Monday as a travel day, and then it's, the rest of the week.
Wow. Sure hope it's good.
I do, too.
I wonder if that was...
That's a lot of... We're spending a lot of time up there.
Jumping out of there.
And that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 3 days? And Friday's travel?
Maybe. I don't know.
We should look at that.
Okay. We got a registration discount for all three of us going.
It's Ricky's fault for signing us up. We didn't know.
Wendy
and I don't know. We'll look at that.
Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that is...
I don't know when we move legal, or maybe I just don't. Maybe I just can't be there. So.
Senator Wyden's town hall is this Thursday. I was planning on going.
Okay.
For some reason, Board of Health is trying to move up their time Thursdays at 10:30, which means on the fourth Thursday of the month, it's going to be a challenge for me to get out of admin in time to get up there.
And that's the board's time on the agenda, so you missed that.
I wonder if this is our first meeting to talk this Thursday about the time.
I wonder if we could arrange the admin so that we're doing like updates or something. Department updates at the end to where we were going to move those to 11, right?
Department updates to 10, I thought. So they're not here 10. For the first hour, yeah.
So, but your...
But if your meeting's at 10:30...
What I'm looking to try to do is if we could have board discussion after the first part so that you're here and then you do department updates when you're not here. At least you can get, like a sheet of paper.
Get your business done
being
in the first hour.
And you can,
Well, it's the first one that is at 10:30. They used to be at noon, and so...
11 would be... You could probably...
See if they can do 11 to 12:30, yeah. So it's just the first one, and that's on their agenda to discuss meeting time. So,
okay.
I'm presenting to School of Business class, Business Government and Nonprofits class at SOU Wednesday at 1:30.
Cool. I think we really need to focus on the commissioners doing more of that, getting into the high schools. I've done a couple of Chris Pendleton's classes, but the career people. Connecting the board, it's that exposure element, talking about what county government does. We're the third largest employer. People don't even look at us as opportunities to go into
public work for pizza.
Or whatever.
What a career,
Yeah. It's pretty stable employment most of the time.
Absolutely. Okay. So we're going to take the department goals and review those.
Yeah.
And then come back. When do you want to bring that back?
Is that Thursday?
Thursday
after Is that your admin? Is that your first one?
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't work.
And next Tuesday's not going to work.
What? The whole thing?
Oh, then great. Let's get her done Wednesday.
Doing.
So maybe Thursday will work just fine.
Just fine. Okay.
And if I have to move an afternoon meeting on Thursday afternoon, I have an update with my lipstick coordinator, but otherwise...
I think we'll have time to do it in the end.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, so we got that squared away. Item number three is other. Anything? Got anything other? We've had a pretty robust conversation this morning.
I have a to-do list y'all gave me this morning, so I'm going to go get it done.
All do from a standpoint of revisiting it. We actually didn't even review the to-do list, so. Security, your court security.
So
did you have that meeting last week?
We did, and I need to follow up with Ryan and Arthur just as far as funding. There was some statements made about $75,000.
Yep. Just 1 second.
Pausing.
Hmm?
Pause.
Pause.
Should we have some pause music?
Pause the meeting.
Did you see my email about rescheduling that Wednesday afternoon meeting? Okay. This was the only time that worked for this, and it's a higher priority. I have to get her done.
Yeah. It's a computer that we get after.
Parched. $75,000?
There was a question about $75,000 that we budgeted. Basically, around the state, the monies that the state provides for courtroom security is usually dedicated towards equipment upgrades and maintenance such. Ours for...
I've heard that, and I don't know that that's actually true. So Douglas County uses their court security money to do what we do here.
That goes to the guy, the sheriff, the deputy.
They outsource it to the security.
And it doesn't cover the cost. I mean, it used to be that it'd be third divided between court security, the court, sheriff, and I don't remember who the third one was. Maybe the commissioners.
It could have been general fund.
General fund as far as a third, but even the portion from the state isn't covering their third. So it's one of those things that...
And I agree. I talked to Kirk about this, and I feel like the priority needs to be in family court where people... Those are pretty emotional hearings. And you're taking somebody's kids or blah, 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 and there's nobody over there sometimes. So a recommendation from either Lipstick or and court security is saying where is the greatest need. It's kind of like asking the sheriff. The sheriff first comes and says he wants these cameras. And I said, okay, that's great, but what are you asking for tomorrow? Mm-hmm. What is your priority list? Because if you spend your wad today and there's nothing left for tomorrow, you come to me with this, oh, here's the emergency of the day, X, Y, or Z. Oh, I'm sorry, Tiger, we don't have anything left for that. So what's your three priorities? What's your priority? And then maybe we look.
Well, and this is a good conversation for us to have. So right now there was a system working that used speakers in the ceilings for kind of a PA system for a notification for a lockdown or now active shooter kind of, and it's not currently working after some fire system upgrades last year. Ryan's recommendation with JJ is that it be replaced. It's at the point that we need to do something.
That's in this building? Or
correct. And the Justice Building. The Justice Building is kind of in a different fire system. So I guess from my standpoint, I'm a little old school. I've never worked in a building that had lockdown warnings before. We had a fire alarm. And so it's new to me working in a courthouse. I haven't been here for either of the two drills. So I, as a county employee for 12 years or however long I've been at the county, have never had a lockdown drill. And to have an expectation that we have some kind of notification of active shooter alarm or lockdown alarm, is that a reasonable expectation? That was something they talked about with the Florida shooting this last week, is the kid went in and pulled the fire alarm, which got all the kids at.
Get everybody in the hallway.
Exactly.
You respond different to different alarms.
So, but the problem is we did have a lockdown alarm. It's not functioning accurately. The recommendation by staff was that it needs to be replaced as soon as possible. And so now I had a conversation with Arthur. We're going to be following up with where do we fund it from? And how do we fund it? What's the partnership?
I want to know how much it is first.
Correct.
If we know how much it is, that is determined about where the
money. If you're going to apply for a grant, you got to have a number.
When they told me what their current system is, I was shocked. And it's not practical in any sense of the term of how it functions.
Yeah.
With apps the way they are, with everything else, there's got to be a better way of notification of a situation. Everybody's first priority, if something happens, obviously, you call 911, you get emergency services rolling. But we kind of just tasked with, they said the marshals can make recommendations as far as they do this nationwide. They know what programs are out there. Let's see what's available to see. And we're going to have facilities kind of look at why are the speakers not currently working that had worked for 10 years. So just kind of taking a look at some of that. But I don't know. It was an interesting conversation, but there was some allegations about the finances that were kind of interesting. Almost that we had moved money out of that fund and it's supposed to be dedicated to that fund. And when the fund monies from the state doesn't even cover a third of the position with the overtime and all that is approved through the courts, it was kind of an interesting conversation. So I followed up with Arthur, or said I need to follow up just to see what is this they're saying. Go over the fund with me so I have a better understanding of what is there and kind of see where that's at. So, but Ryan and JJ's recommendation was to replace it.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any other dedicated element other than court security has that fund. And they make a recommendation on how it's allocated. So that, you know, that is their recommendation. But ultimately, all the other stuff is general fund.
Yeah.
And we do what we need to do with it when it needs to get there. So I think the partnership with the sheriff and court security is really key. And he needs to also be part of those conversations about how does he see a priority.
Does he normally attend those meetings?
I don't know. I've only attended one.
Okay. Have you ever attended any?
Court security? The one.
Is deputies ever there? Sheriff or undersheriff?
No. State police is there.
I have no idea why the state police is there. They serve no function other than they're a state agency.
I imagine they would respond and they would want to know what is going on.
Okay.
But that's it. I think the sheriff is the one the undersheriff should be at those.
I agree. So
I think it needs to be all hands on deck.
I think he's invited because they made comment that they wished he had been there.
I think it would be great if you could work on a recommendation for how we're going to handle it in the future. Okay. I suggested to Ryan in that letter that he drafted, but I don't know that he released, is that we've got to have it signed off by people before we do one of these drills, because you only get so many bites at the apple before people start not responding or not having faith. I don't care if we have to test it on a Sunday when nobody's here or something like that, but it needs to have pretty good indication that everything's going to go on how it should and what people's reactions are going to be.
Yep.
And so I don't mind spending a couple of dollars
make sure the equipment
on this facility to do whatever it needs to do to accommodate whatever it needs to accommodate.
Nothing worse than to have all the people involved in it and then the system doesn't work.
They're obviously pushing for a one entrance access point.
That's not going to happen.
And so
strategically this building is not designed that way. And I'm not in favor while I'm here for the next year to bastardize the front.
No, I would force it to the Justice Building where there's an elevator and stairs and
all the time?
For courts. So courts enter there. We block off this elevator and the stairs from going to the top floor. And the first and second floors are accessed from C Street, the front, and this elevator. And anybody for courts gets pushed down to the Justice Building entrance.
So they're all going through a metal detector?
And that would be a one-point access for the courts. You put a...
Are they okay with that?
No.
Okay.
No, this is just, if they want that, that's...
I agree.
This is how I would recommend that we would do that for the sake of... One point access for the courts, they go to that entrance. Now their recommendation also is the district attorney goes down to the old police location and then they put another courtroom in that end of the building and they take over the whole top floor. But anyhow, that's part of the conversations of facility master planning and what do we have the ability to deal with.
We have that done and that master plan says that courts is no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be in their own facility with a single point of entrance, and then that's what that plan out there says on where our mailboxes are.
Yeah,
that's what that talks about.
How old is that, by the way?
2006, I want to say.
Okay.
2008, somewhere around that time frame.
I might
take a look.
Study it a little more.
It's not rocket science. It's pretty. It's got great schematics and everything. What's helpful about that is it tells you the square foot and how that's
okay.
So you'll be able to compare if I need 10,000 square feet, is where it could possibly go. That sort of deal.
Well, and it was kind of my concern about moving veterans up to upstairs on Dimmock when we know we want to clear out that space in a couple of years. Why move to move?
Speaking of something on Dimmock that I'd like to propose if we could.
Yeah.
Under other. I went up there the other day because I just stopped in to see how Julie was doing, and they gave me a tour of the upstairs thing, and they have homeless people living in those alcoves.
You brought up the stairs, yeah, the fences.
So I think I would like to see us, if maybe contact Brian about putting cyclone fencing up along there with a gate at each one of those entrances so that we have some security up there after hours. And if that's okay, I'll just talk to Ryan about it, or you can talk to Ryan about it in facilities.
We
don't want to put a lot of money into that because, like I say, it may not be there forever.
No.
But for right now, it's a real issue. They're doing some really bad stuff in those alcoves. And there's evidence of it there.
And it's not publicly visible. So if you want to talk to Ryan about what that would entail and cost. And
putting a fence around that whole site so nobody can access it except the entrance.
Right.
That's fine.
I don't know. We'll just look.
I will come up with a proposal on the back side of the other one.
Maybe black. We can splurge for the black. It's not a lot of fence. You know what I mean? You wouldn't be able to see that as much. But it would still work.
It's on the back side. It's in the parking lot side. It's not, in other words, it doesn't show from A Street or anything when you turn the corner.
If I want someone running into it. No, I have a conference call in 4 minutes.
So we're all set to go. And we'll see you this afternoon at 2 p.m. So it is 10:56 and we're adjourned.